I'm so glad to be able to be here today and to share with you. I have a presentation today, and we're going to go a little bit with that. But let me tell you about, starting a little, a few things. I'm glad to be here today and be able to share with you. Thank you to your people. You remember I was here 2 years ago. It was here exactly a week after my brother was killed in El Salvador. And today I come, my spirit was good at that time, but I come with a good spirit today. I've been enjoying being here in your beautiful country. I know that I have always said that driving in the U.S. is so boring. That stupid joke that I have done for a long time. So November the 9th. I was here. I remember going through Childersburg and thinking and praying fast for you guys. I said, Lord, bless that people and the churches here because you have been playing an amazing role in my life for years and years. The thing is that I was praying for you, and I was down to in 280, exit 147. I was turning there, and I was able to see where it turns this direction, but not this direction. So I feel a little bit like, uncomfortable. So I decided to stop, completely stop. I see the cars going, and I stop, of course, outside the road. Because I'm dumb, but not that dumb. So I stop completely outside the road. I take good care. There was a rail here, and I took a good care that going out to put my tires, in the other side, that thing that the brrr, you know what you're talking about? Brrr, wake you up. I put my tires in this side and the other side. And finally, when I did that, I got my phone, and I was checking out what was the deal, why I was not able to find 147 exit going towards Auburn. I was speaking there. So it happened that I was doing that, and suddenly the car starts shaking, boom, boom, and I said, God, what's going on? That's what I screamed, and of course, in Spanish, I mean, he does understand Spanish too. So I said, God, what's going on? And then I feel like, and I hear like a grinder beside in my ear, and then after that, I didn't know what was going on. I felt something exploding in the back of the window and explode. And I was, not understanding what was going on. And then I felt glass. I was feeling glass. I would like to say that falling on my hair, but it was on my scalp. And finally, I saw the car and the tire. The tire taking the rear view mirror in the air. My goodness, I was in a car accident in the U.S. where it's so boring to drive. So when I realized that I was, because I saw the car, doing like this, I realized that I was in a car accident. I said, a car accident here in the U.S. And then I look at myself and I said, man, I'm good. Who cares? Then, the car, and I said, well, it does not belong to me, it does belong to me. God spared my life, and I'm thankful this morning. I went 2 days ago or 3 days ago and took pictures of the same place, and I gave thanks to the Lord for sparing my life that day. A car ran me over. So, watch for people standing on the side. Let's go to the other side. It is very interesting because in Mark, if you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and going up, this is a part of the Bible that I've been in touch with a lot. And it's talking about, Jesus, after teaching the parables, is Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. And it says on the Bible, that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. He had been by the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee. And he had been teaching the parables. It's interesting because he's talking to his disciples and telling them, hey guys, you want to put it in another language? Hey guys, let's go to the other side. It's that simple. But that going to the other side was taking them in something that they didn't know what was coming in their way. Taking to the other side means a trip. Taking them to the other side, it was meaning, you know, that they were going with him, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. And it says there that leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. So I can see that, you know, here is Jesus with the disciples teaching. And it's very interesting because the next picture shows that we, as a family, that's my lovely wife and me, Lisa and myself, we have decided to trust in the Lord and follow him to the other side. He has told us, hey, guys, let's go to the other side. It was very interesting to be the president at seminary. Working at seminary for 8 years was amazing. Challenges? Yes, all the time. It was like a roller coaster. You know, when you are with your children going to in a roller coaster, especially if it's in the dark. Man, it's like, woo, ow. You understand that. You've done that before. You're going down sometimes, turning around in circles. You need to have nothing in your pockets and those things will fall. And until it's a sudden stop and you know that the ride is over. That's pretty much what happened with me. I did work at a job for 25 years that I love so much. The seminary, beautiful place, amazing grounds, great people. I mean, everything was good. But probably it was for us the time to follow God's call. Like probably Paul, Timothy, and Silas did at some point when the Holy Spirit didn't let them go to places. And it was the time in which he was telling us, let's go to the other side, guys. So we don't know exactly what the ride means. For them, right here, it's interesting that it says, leaving the crowd behind. I know about crowds because my country is crowded. The church is crowded. It's interesting. I have a picture that I would like to see. We can get it in a little while. But before, we're going to use the third picture. The one about the boat. But the thing is that thinking about the crowds. We go to the next one. Thinking about the crowds. They leave the crowd. And when they leave the crowd, something like this happened. I said churches in Guatemala are crowded. I love coming to your sanctuaries. Man, it is so neat. You are there and you are all mic up. People introduce you and you start talking and then you realize that people is already listening to you. That's technology, man. Wow. In my country, you see you Americans, beautiful sanctuaries, air conditioning, everything is top notch. And in our countries, we sometimes don't have that opportunities. We have a beautiful church where we meet, but let me tell you, people sit together, we don't tend to ask for our personal space. We don't ask for that. I mean, there's no such a thing as personal space, you know? Can you see if there is a picture of people in a mountain there? It's almost at the end. Can you go to that one and we skip and come back later? Look at that. That picture amazed me. And I'm going to tell you what happened there because it is an interesting story. Billy is the name of the kid. He was coming every Saturday asking me, Tico, can you please come and preach at my village? And I said, sure, Billy. I probably can do, but tell me, where is it? Oh, it is a place. The name is Chewate. It's really close to Nikkiville. Man, Chewate and Nikkiville, that's Nikkiville in English. Chewate and Nikkiville. It's at the Mexican border, Mexico with Guatemala. And I said, how many hours? 10 hours driving. And I thought, man, 10 hours driving this hilly roads. I don't know if I want to do that, you know. So I said, Lisa has invited me to go, but I don't know if I want to travel 10 hours going, 10 hours back. Can you imagine 20 hours in a weekend, honey? She said, well, think about it. Pray about it. And I said, I have made up my mind and I'm not going. So I said, man, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to go. Next Saturday, the guy come back to my house again and asked me, Tico, can you please come over and preach in my house? And I said, man, I don't think I can. Look, actually, I'm planning a trip. Maybe I'm not. Man, I didn't want to go. So he said, why don't you go, man? My father wants for you to go. And I said, let me think about it. But I knew that I was not wanting to do that. Probably God was wanting to teach me a lesson. He didn't come the next Saturday, which was good. But then, the next one, he came. And I said, Billy, what are you doing here again, man? You live 10 hours away. And said, you know, my father sent me to ask you to go and preach at my village. And I said, you know, I really don't want to go. I want to be honest with you. And then he told me, and I asked him, why are you here almost three weeks in a row? You didn't come one Saturday. And he told me this, that really killed me. He said, you know, Tico, I am a student at the seminary on the Saturday program. You're a student on the Saturday program? Yes. So that means that you come every Saturday? Yes, I come every Saturday to study the Bible. 10 hours away? Yes, from 10 hours away. What do you do? I leave on Friday, 5 p.m., sleep in Tacaná San Marcos, get up at 1 a.m. next morning, get on the chicken bus, and come back by 7, study the Bible, then study until 1, eat something, catch the bus again, going until Tacaná, 7 hours, spend the night there, and go to church the next morning. Shame on you, Tico. I said, man, I went inside the house because we were sitting on a bench outside. I went inside the house and I said to Lisa, Lisa, I'm going. And I asked for forgiveness to the Lord. I went and that's what happened. People walk 5 hours walking. Some of the people, not all of them, walk 5 hours since 3 a.m. to come that morning to listen to preach to me. And I didn't want to go. And they stand on the sun. Look at this. They stand in the sun. That's what I was talking about a while ago. They stand in the sun from 8 o'clock in the morning. They give me the time to preach at 11. I preached for 45 minutes. Nobody was moving. People was coming still. You just can see a part of that mountain. You can see it everywhere. And they stay there until 12. I left at 12 because I was having to come back 7 hours to preach the next morning. And then, at 1, everything dissolved. Personal space. That's what's happened in my country with the gospel. People want to listen. They don't care about standing on the sun. But they want to hear the word. There are people like everywhere. But they are hungry for the word. I would like to come back to where the people were in the boat again. Thank you, man. You're awesome. Those guys are amazing. Wow, my goodness. Thank you, man. So they went into the boat, and we all know the story, you know. Water hitting them, you know. And it's hard to understand. Water hitting the boat, really hard. And I've been praying, preaching about those passages in Mark because I love what it teaches in here. But they are feeling, you know, the waves. And Jesus, man, probably tired. Jesus resting, sleeping. If it's like me, snoring big time. If it's like you, of course not. But they are, you know, crossing the lake. They leave the crowd and they find this one. So if we go to the next one, we will find that they were leaving the people behind. We will find that the next one, please, that Jesus Jesus is getting some needed rest. He has been teaching, waking up early, working on hours. If you go to Mark chapter 1, you will find out about Jesus. You will find out that he was waking up. Mark 1:35 says that he was, a person that was awake early in the morning when it still was dark, getting time with the Lord, praying. But the night before and the day before, he has been helping people, healing people. You will find even Peter's mother-in-law there in the picture. But you will find that he was doing a lot of different stuff. So probably, now we're talking about chapter 4, but probably he's tired. The disciples are, you know, in this point. If we go to the next one, please. The disciples have to do something here. They need to get to a point in which, going to the other side, they need to trust in the Lord. Because in verse 37 says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I read 37 again. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciple woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Interesting question. Where do you go when you need help? Many times we're looking for help in different places. Of course, they only have Jesus there, but we look for help in different places. Where do you call? Who do you call when you have a trouble? Different generation will, you know, joke about the Ghostbusters. Maybe you guys, Alexander Shunara. I'm sorry. That guy is in every advertisement from Georgia to Alabama. I hope he doesn't come to this church. No, I'm just saying, you know, because of what I'm saying right now. I'm sorry. Alexander Shunar. I need to learn how to say that word, not that name. Thank you, sir. So Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we're drowned?" They make a question to Jesus. And I love Jesus here. The Bible says he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Wow, that is powerful. He rebuked the winds and the waves. Quiet and be still. I have said something like this before here, because those passages are linked. But he's telling, you know, to the elements, and they obey. Next chapter talks to the demons, they obey. In that same chapter, in the next chapter, he talks to the sickness obey. And if you continue going, he talks to death, and even death obey him. Amen. Man, yeah. He's worthy to be trusted. Yeah. Elements obey him. Demons obey him. Sickness obey him. Even death obey him. At his word. So, he says that, and then you can hear like, and suddenly, man, everything is so peaceful and nice in that place. And that's time for a lesson right now. Like Billy, with me going to Nikki Ville in Chihuahua. It's time for a lesson. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Those two questions pretty much are, you know, like, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? been a pastor, youth pastor for many years. I love to be with my kids, going to places and that kind of stuff. We went to a summer camp, which our summer camp is not during your summer, it's during our break in October, because when kids are out of school, October, November, December. And middle of October, November, we went to the beautiful Lake Atitlan. And we were there all day long. And, one of our planning was to go to Las Cristalinas, the other side of the lake. It is amazing and beautiful water, clear water. That's the translation of Las Cristalinas, clear water. And it is beautiful. We swim there all day long, have like a picnic. It was amazing. And then 3 p.m., it was the time to come back. They send a little boat. That boat, you know, was small, and we all fit in there. But the waves were so high that throw the boat out on the sand. So we have to push that thing, you know, and nobody wants to get in there. We ask the guys to send us a bigger boat. So they sent something that it was not what we were expecting, but it was a little bit bigger than the other one. They put him by the rocks, and water was moving and hitting like this, and everybody was like trying to get in the front part of the boat from the rocks, and we were able to put everybody. And Lisa said to me, "Tico, I don't want to go in there." And I said, "Honey, we need to." "No, no, no, I better walk." And so she and Lori, her sister, and somebody else went that way, and I have to go with the kids because I was responsible for them. So here we are going back, and this thing is moving like... And the kids, you have always somebody like this in a group. Somebody you said, "Oh, we're going to die." That guy said, "Oh, we're going to die." And everybody started crying. You know, we're going to die. You know, it was like that. So one of them feeling so guilty because mistreating people, he said, "Guys, I know that this is terrible, but I just want to say that if I have offended anybody over here, please forgive me. If I go with the Lord, I want to go in peace." We went to the other side. Man, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I'm thinking about all the things that are happening in the world. Have you realized that? Our world is crazy. Talking about another countries, Turkey, lately, bombed there. Brussels, not long ago. We have had France, July the 14th. Orlando. A lot of things going on. And I'm trying to understand the picture, and I understand from the word, but I mean, what happened about in Orlando, I really feel bad about what happened. 50 human beings, 53. But then a week later, ISIS or somebody else killed 173 Christians. And I post on my Facebook, "Please somebody help me understand why everybody's talking about that and nobody said a word about what is going on here with Christians." We need to keep preaching the word. Trust in the Lord. Guys, you have elections. I don't know if you're doing like we did. We didn't vote for the best option. We vote against an option. And the president that we have right now has proved to be a good guy. And I want to tell you something today. Doesn't matter who's going to win, God is still in control today. So we shouldn't be afraid. Let me tell you a little bit of my ministry. We'll go to the next chapter, or to the next. This is myself. And what I'm doing, people, is still teaching the Bible. I want to teach the Bible to the people with the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want people to, to sleep when I'm speaking. That will be a waste of time. And it happens. It's bad when it happens to me. That's one thing. And the other thing is that I'm working with Grace Ministry, our new organization. What we do with Grace? Four different things. So simple. We do, first, very basic homes, made all out of tin roof. That's what we do. We build probably 400 of those a year. They are all made out of lamina, we call them, made out of that for people that is really, 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 really poor, the poor of the poorest in Guatemala. The second thing that we do is that we have medical clinics. We have doctors coming from the U.S., and we help the people of Guatemala. They bring tons of medicine, and we give that medicine away to the people. The third thing that we do is that we give food in impoverished areas. How do we do food? We give food. We give them food through the church, because we don't want the Americans of us as Great Ministry, as the people that they look, that they give them the food. We want them to think that God is the one that provides for them the food that we provide, that He provides. So I mentioned the first thing is thin roof houses. Second thing, medical care. Third thing, it is providing food in impoverished areas. The fourth, we're providing studies to 75 kids. Beautiful kids. God has been so good because He has provided for each one of them to have a scholarship to go to school. So they're going to school. They don't live with us. They come three times a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We give them spiritual food, physical food, and help with their studies too, which is really nice. And I talked to a college, president of a college. I know several because of the work that I was doing for years. And when I told him what, he asked me what I was doing, I told him what we're doing, and he told me I want to be part of that. I want to give scholarship to the 75 kids in the future so they can study at college. Can you imagine that? College education, they can change their environment. Man, I want to say, can you put my kids on that program, please? I'm paying college right now, and they are paying. So we're doing those four things. What do I do? I am like an advisor with Grace. I am part of the board. I'm vice president. But what I do at that place, actually, I work with amazing people. I work with Pastor Teddy Turrentine, which is my boss. Amazing man, great guy. I ask him for permission to come to the U.S., and I ask him for his blessing. He says, Tico, you don't need to ask me for permission, and you have my blessing. Then I work with people like Kirk, amazing guy. Now Kirk, we used to work at seminary. Now Kirk and I, which has come over here through the years, we work together. And it is amazing. What do I do? This is what I do. Brother Teddy tell me, Tico, you're going to be in charge of PR. And I said, man, I like that. PR. It sounds even good, man. What does it mean? He said, public relationship. Oh, yeah, I like it. I like it better that way. You put it in words that I can understand. So I do PR. The other thing that I do is I take care of Americans going to Guatemala. I do devotions in the morning, not every morning, once if they require, twice if they require that for me. And the third thing that I do is I put in touch a person that we built a house for with a pastor in their area, because we realized that we were not doing that very well. So I take care of the groups. That was the second thing. And I mentioned spiritual care. And it, let's say somebody's having a hard time and going through something. I'm ready, you know, to be able to help with whatever is needed. This third thing has to be with, we build a house. The people that build a house, that have a house built, I put them in touch with the pastor in their area so they can have good care of them. Projects that we're doing right now. Can we go to the next picture, please? Our house. It will be our house. And that will happen probably at the beginning of December or January. We have never had a house. I always have lived at the seminary. So Lisa and I, well, we don't work at the seminary anymore. They, by grace, I mean graciously, let us stay at the seminary. And it was very nice. So, but Lisa and I said, man, we need to do something. We have property that we have bought before. And so we start building that. The person in charge of doing all the work on site told us that it was going to be by April next year. But then he realized that we can stay at the seminary until December. So without saying a word and promising anything to Lisa, he's trying to finish that thing by December so we can move in January. And that's one of the projects. We're trusting the Lord. It is very interesting. I'm looking for a loan right now. I need a loan to have the house finished and all that kind of stuff. Let you know. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for supporting the work that we do in Guatemala. If by any chance somebody would like to help us with this project, we will appreciate it. I'm not asking anything. Just letting you know the need. I'm looking for a big loan that probably will happen next couple of days, and that way I will continue with the construction. But the reason because I mentioned that is because you've been so generous in several occasions. And let me tell you something. I remember really well at the beginning of being the president of the seminary came over here, and I told you that I was in my way to Spain. And you guys, that day, were so, so generous with me. I didn't say that much about not having much to go, to spend. And when I left this church, I have enough for the whole trip. I'm not telling you that you have to give me whatever. No, just talking about what happened in the past. But this one warmed up my heart because I remember I went today walking. And when I was walking, I went by the river. I was walking there on the highway in 280, and then picture came to my mind. My kids were wanting so bad. We were wanting. They have never done that. They were little, and they were wanting so bad to go to Disney World. And we didn't say a word to them, but we were wanting to do that with our kids. And I remember we came over here. I speak and by the river. I remember that Lisa said, can I open the envelope that they gave us? And I said, sure, Lisa, go for it. And she opened that thing, and my kids were like this in the car. And when they opened the envelope, Lisa said, we are going to this new one. Probably was not the best use, but we enjoyed it very much. And my kids were so glad, so happy. People, thank you. Really. Thank you for what you have been doing through the years for us. We appreciate you so much. You guys are in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers. I will say that again. You guys are in our minds, in our hearts, in our prayers. Thank you. God bless you.